the business is changing at an exponential rate. And if you're like me, there are far more questions to get answers to than you have time in the day. Each week, I sit down with a unique guest and get their perspective on something interesting in business. It could be something I'm trying to learn, a topic we're seeing happen in the world. It could be demand gen, artificial intelligence, go-to-market, strategy, branding. I get curious, and I'll go lots of places. I hope you enjoy listening to these conversations as much as I enjoy having them. Before we get started with today's guest, please make sure you like and subscribe. Now, on to the show. Welcome to the summit. My name is Kyle Hamer. I'm your host. Today's session is a fun session for me because we're going to get into a topic that every department or every company, specifically in SaaS, software as a service, B2B, had better master. If not, it's going to cause chaos, delay decision-making, and ultimately lead to probably fisticuffs between your revenue teams. Sales will be picking on marketing and vice versa. Joining us today as an expert is Heather Robinette. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We're excited to pick your brain. Today's topic is how to build a revenue operations function, team, process, how to build revenue operations from scratch. Heather, you're uniquely qualified because you've done this and you've done it recently. You know, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became to be a RevOps leader.
So the interesting part for me is I actually started my career out in marketing. So went to school for marketing, did the first 8 years of my career in marketing, mostly solo marketer. So it was very interesting to be able to get to kind of wear all those different hats, pick up a lot of the different skill sets, learn a lot of different things. Also worked at a startup where I got to experience a lot of the sales side, a lot of the CS side. And I think that's really where I kind of got that, let's call it the kind of itch to get into RevOps. I just didn't know it at the time and had no idea what it was called. So for me, it's been an interesting transition. A lot of it would be, figuring out what is it called? What is it that I want to do? Back in 2021 is ultimately when I made that shift into RevOps and got that opportunity to essentially build RevOps from the ground up. And that's how I got to where I am today. It's been a lot of fun. Had a great opportunity to really learn and grow from that and being able to continue to use those skills in the role I have today.
That's awesome. Well, and I'll give a little bit of extra context to the listeners. So Heather was my second hire in my last CMO role, and we hired her to come in and actually build the marketing operations function. And what we quickly realized when she got there, and when I say quickly realized, I think it was day one, is that sales was busted, the process was broken, and that Heather's role was going to have to expand. So with that backdrop, we've worked together before, so I'll ask a lot of leading questions, but also letting people know that I was super impressed with what Heather did. Heather, tell me a little bit about what it was like your first week walking into the bombshell that was our company's marketing and sales operations.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I'd say for me, it was one of those where, week one, I'm expecting, here's what our company does, here's some of the tech we use, don't call it a boring week, but your first week's usually pretty calm. And the first day wasn't too bad. And really that transition into day two, where it was like, yeah, we're going to need to just slow that down. We're going to need to transition over here. The BDR process really doesn't exist. We need to look at this now. So it was really kind of just shifting gears. So second day, I believe it was the second day, lunchtime, we end up in this room and it's just this whiteboard of like, this is what we need. Here's what we have. What can you do? So it was really one of those shifting gears really fast. But I enjoyed the challenge. It was a nice challenge. It got me going. I mean, first 30 days really hit the ground running is probably the best way I look at it. Was able to get in there and make some changes.
So based on that experience, and again, nothing like throwing into the deep end of the pool to start off, but based on that experience, now as you walk into another organization and you look at RevOps, where do you start? Where should RevOps live? And where should you start in building out that function?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's interesting because it is different at every company. And in the beginning, really, it's figuring out where is it at today and where does the company want to take it? So it's really figuring out from the company's leadership perspective, where do they see this going? Usually, too, that's something in the interview process that's really critical to find out is kind of what they see RevOps as and you know, how is it going to support the team? What's that going to look like? And that's going to give you a lot of insight into how this role is going to be viewed. And is it really going to make a difference? So for me, coming into a company, it's going to be, you know, really figuring out what is the tech stack? You know, is it something that needs to be looked at, reviewed? Are there things that need to be fixed along the way? You know, if great examples, when I started in our last role, my last role, a lot of it was figuring out, we have all these systems. Do we need them all? What needs to be integrated? What's not working? What's working? So really it was actually starting with what did we have today and what needs to be fixed? And then kind of going from there. It isn't coming in and figuring out what else do I need to buy. That was like 6 months down the road where we finally got to that point. So that's definitely not going to be a day one kind of thing in most companies.
In a company where you have to crawl, walk, run, or in some cases, walk, run, and then cry, because crawling is not an option. Where do you like to start? Where do you recommend that people start? I mean, obviously you're saying assessment, but from an assessment and looking at it, what is it that you need in order to be able to make intelligent decisions and help really set up the function to eliminate friction?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's not only reviewing the tech stack itself, but it's also talking to the people. So figuring out what's working, what's not working, what exists today, what do they want to exist in the future? So it's also going to be talking to the marketing team, talking to the sales team, talking to the CS team. What are their pain points? Are there easy things you can fix today? There's going to be some things that you can come in and you're like, yeah, I can fix that in 5 minutes. Let's get that done. Those are going to be easy wins that you can make people happy, and they're going to be in your corner from the get-go. So there's going to be those easy wins you're also going to want to look for. But to me, it's not only reviewing the tech stack itself, but it's also going to be the people component. So figuring out where are the people at with what it's doing today, and where do they want to see it go? What do they think is going to help make their job easier?
And in talking to people that maybe haven't worked with the revenue operations team before, worked with somebody who understands systems and how they talk to one another and how data needs to move back and forth, what do you find the common early struggles are when you're in those conversations?
Yeah, and this is something I came up against, to be honest. There's definitely an education piece of helping people understand what is the role of RevOps and how can it help you. Typically, once they start to understand that, then they are very bought into it and very excited about it. Usually in the beginning, they just don't understand and they see you more as kind of a extra person they have to deal with, to be honest. But it's one of those in time as they start to understand what the role can do and how it can help. And really, you become the go-to person for them. So a lot of it to me is really education. And the sooner you can start to do that with people, if they're not familiar with RevOps, the faster it's going to help the team get to where they need to be able to leverage the RevOps team to be more efficient in what they do.
So if you had to rebuild a team from scratch again, knowing what you know now, would you start on the sales side and sales process operations and working with those motions? Or would you start on the marketing side? Or would you try and swim lane them both together? Like, where would you come in and say, this is where we really need to focus?
You know, I would say it's gonna depend on the company. What do they need more help with? Is it a company where you're coming in and the sales, not this sales process, sales side, maybe not that it's perfect, but maybe it's a little bit more built out than marketing. And realistically, maybe the marketing side needs a lot more help. More times than not, I would say the sales side probably is gonna need more help. Is what I'd say I found the most often. But yeah, I would say unfortunately it depends. Depends on every company. Every company is gonna be different. But I would say I would probably lean more towards looking at sales first, but I have definitely seen examples where they've taken the time to really build sales out and marketing tends to get left behind as kind of the secondary one where it's there, but no one's been paying attention to it. And to be honest, if someone did pay attention to it, could help them grow a whole lot faster, but no one's taken the time to do that yet.
But give me a quantifiable example of what you mean by marketing's been neglected and there's a way to help them grow faster by applying some attention. What does that look like in practice?
So for me, I'd say, you know, realistically, this is going to be examples where like you look at an organization and they have the sales side and, you know, they have the sales team. Someone tends to have taken the time to figure out the systems. Someone who may or may not need to be owning that stuff owns it, has figured it out, that type of thing. On the marketing side, at the end of the day, it tends to be like, there's one person doing it all. And so you're expecting them to be an expert in everything when they were probably hired for demand gen. And so it's one of those where it's those are the cases where I say it's, I don't want to say neglected, like someone's been doing things, but you're asking them to do events, do content, do, you know, everything else under the sun. Cause obviously marketing is very large, but you're then also asking them to be the ops person. And that's a whole role in and of itself. And so those are the times when I tend to see that marketing could use a little bit of help, and being able to partner with someone like that, you can just help make their life a little bit easier, a whole lot faster, and get easy wins. So, I mean, those are the organizations where it's definitely going to be easy to come in and help out marketing. But yeah, more times than not, it is going to be sales where, cause there's plenty of opportunity to help make that process better in most companies.
Now, you did something that I thought was unique. And you created a revenue operations handbook. I want to say in the first, I think it was in the first 90 days.
Yep.
Would you recommend that? Would that be the one thing that you have, anybody coming into a new position, trying to create a revenue operations team from scratch, would you start there? Or would you start somewhere else? Where would you start with the team as far as having consistency so that you do know what's going on with the tech stack? You do know what's going on with the people, you do know where you're at with the process. Where is that the tool, or is there something else you'd use?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I'd say a lot of it's also going to depend on kind of where the process is at, where is the tech stack at. But at the end of the day, like that's going to be something that's going to be a driving force. It's going to be one of those that at least getting that document, handbook, whatever you want to call it, started is going to help you continue to move forward. It's never going to be done. It's always going to be a live document, but it will help you start to move forward in terms of at least getting it written down. Here's what the sales process is today. And to be honest, in most companies, it's probably not documented. So it's a huge step forward for most people, or for most companies, is just to be able to get that documented. And in most cases, that's going to be where you start to figure out, you know, you get to this step and you're like, what is this step? And everyone has a different answer. And that right there is a red flag to say, hey, we probably need to figure out what is the next step for everyone, and not, hey, what does John do? What does Lucy do? What does everyone else do? It's what does this company do as the next step? So it's a great way to also figure out what are those gaps and where do we need to work on the next step in the process.
When you have that tool, how does it get leveraged? So you said it's a living, breathing document. You'd referenced a little bit about, hey, we may get stuck here and there's some red flags, but how does the document really get leveraged, and how is it additive to the work that you'll end up doing as a RevOps team?
Yeah. I mean, from a RevOps perspective, it's the document that gets, you know, continuously updated to make sure everyone is aware of what's going on. But from a team perspective, it's the one link that they need to keep, and they keep going back to the same document. And the nice thing too, is when they have a question, eventually it's the document they'll just go look at. But at the end of the day, when they come to the RevOps team, ask a question, you just continue to point them back to the same thing. And two, then you also don't have to worry about if you ask two different people the question, do you get two different answers, or do you get the same answer? This document will always give you a consistent answer.
All right. So you start to build the document process. You've captured a lay of the land. You know, maybe you've got some quick wins under your belt. Now what?
I mean, really, I'd say that's when you start to build out your plan. You know, what do you want to tackle? And a lot of it is going to come back to, what are the company's goals? What are the different department goals? What are you trying to accomplish? For me, I'd say the RevOps team's goals are always based on supporting the different departments, and at the end of the day, supporting the company's goals. So really, it's building out your quarterly plans around, what do you need to accomplish? What does the team need to accomplish in order to help support everyone else to reach that ultimate revenue goal, or whatever it is the company is trying to reach? And so it's one of those of starting to really plan out, what did the next 1, 2, 3 quarters look like? You know, what are we going to be working towards? Whether that is implementing different tech to help the teams improve their efficiency, helping to improve different processes, and, you know, improving whatever it is, you know, more times than not, it's usually working towards different things like that.
When you're in the process of going through and putting those projects together, I'm sure in the back of your mind, there's always this lingering, I don't know what we call it, fear. I don't want to call it anxiety, but, the world is saying that data is the new oil. And as the RevOps team, you are kind of the derrick that helps us get the oil out of our, out of the ground, out of our systems. Where does data hygiene and just overall structure of how information is flowing, where does that fit in this building process?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's one of those things that is always there. And a lot of it too is going to be dependent on how it gets prioritized. And it's one of those that it needs to be prioritized in some fashion, because it will matter, whether that's, you know, from a reporting perspective or from the team's perspective in terms of what they're trying to do. You know, duplicates within the system are something, it's a problem everyone has at the end of the day. I've never seen anyone who's like, nope, CMR's CRM is clean. Don't have any issues there. I've yet to see that. That will be the day when I see that. But it's one of those where it's being able to keep that in check with everything else. It's one of those where that can't be your sole focus. If that is the only thing you do, you will never accomplish anything else. Especially in large organizations between marketing and sales, you are constantly adding contacts, constantly adding accounts to the CRM. So it's one of those things where it's, you have to be mindful that there's always data coming in and doing your best to keep that as clean as possible. But at the end of the day, it's one of those, like, that can't be the thing that you get hung up on, or you'll never get anything else done.
Can this be done by one person, or does it take more than one?
It'd be a lot for one person, to be honest. I would say it's one of those, it's got to be a balance, where if you're trying to accomplish anything else, I'd say at least two people, or if not more, need to be involved, just because just the sheer number of projects you're usually trying to work on in a RevOps team. I mean, being able to then tackle the data as well, usually you're needing at least two people, because you also not only have your projects, have the data, but then you also have your users who need things. So whether that's a ticketing system or whatever that is that you have coming in, but this is people who, you know, just have random things. You need a new user added. You have an issue with an opportunity that won't close. Just these random things that keep happening, and being able to support the teams with those kind of one-off requests. You also have that in the mix. So there's a lot of balls in the air, if you will. And so it's one of those where, to me, at least a team of two to be able to effectively manage everything is really the ideal kind of foundational group to start with.
What does a good RevOps leader have as far as skills and hard skills and soft skills? So what are the things that it takes to be a good RevOps leader?
I mean, first and foremost, organizational skills are a must have, just because of the sheer number of things going on. You have to be able to keep everything straight, know what needs to be done, know what needs to be prioritized. That's just really key. And I guess, you know, another skill would be the ability to prioritize things, understanding between deadlines, who's asking you for things, what needs to move within, you know, that prioritization level, just because it's constantly going to be changing. It is what it is. I'd say some other skills are going to be, I mean, at the end of the day, given what the people on the team do, I mean, there's going to be a technical side. So whether that's, you know, with all the different systems, whatever it may be, there's going to be a technical skill set of some sort. To be, I don't want to say from the leadership standpoint, but to be able to, you know, go in and help with different things, to be able to have those conversations with people, having that technical skill set of some kind is helpful. But also the strategy side of things, being able to have those higher level conversations, understanding the organization's trying to accomplish this, here are the five things that we can be doing to support that. So there's a lot of different skills that go into it. But it's one of those that as you continue to develop those over time, that's how you kind of grow into being a good RevOps leader.
So if you were to describe the first 90 days of somebody coming into a new department that they didn't, I mean, maybe they have a Salesforce, they have a HubSpot, they have some sort of lead management tools, but they're not really operationally efficient yet. What does that first 90 days look like? 30 days in, I'm doing this, 60 days, I'm doing that. And it by 90 days we've accomplished. What does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, the first 90 days are always interesting, because I feel like, especially coming into a new organization, more times than not, you're just wanting to know what the company does. But at the end of the day, especially in this type of role, the interesting thing is you you know, having an understanding of what the company does is good, but usually from what you're trying to do, it's pretty much the same company to company. So the nice thing is you can get started fairly quickly, and the what the company does is helpful, but what matters to you more is their processes. So in those first 30, 60, 90 days, getting that understanding and using that to continue to move forward, you know, that's really going to be some of those key things. You know, it's one of those, to be honest, it's those 30, 60, 90 days go really fast. And so for me, it's to being able to encourage people to write down the things you're trying to accomplish in those 30, 60, 90 days, just because that, I mean, honestly, that quarter, if you will, your first quarter is going to go by really fast, and being able to look back and say, this is what I accomplished, is going to be very impactful. If you can say, I wasn't just here learning things, but I was actually doing things in the first 90 days. The biggest thing though, is being able to understand kind of how this role fits into everything else, and being able to figure out how can you make an impact really fast.
What are common gotchas or common things that you see that are broken when rev ops or marketing ops, sales ops, whatever's first getting deployed? Or even not first deployed, but when you have somebody new coming in, what are some of the landmines you want to stay away from, or maybe that you need to go find and fix?
Yeah. So one of the interesting ones is, especially if it's new, or if it's been around, but you're coming into it, to just kind of keep in mind, is, and it's something that's gotten me before, but most likely they bought in tech at some point of the different kinds. Some of it is useful, some of it is good to keep, but the biggest thing is getting a grasp on the agreements and contracts with those vendors as fast as possible. Because as those renewals come up, the question is there an auto renewal in there? When are those contract agreement dates? Because there could be ones that come up in your first 90 days that are just, they're going to happen. And it's one of those that you can't do anything about because you were unaware. And so the sooner you can get your arms around that, the faster you can be helpful, if you will, just to be able to say, hey, you know, whatever vendor this is, it's coming up for renewal. You know, we have our chance to opt out. Obviously you're not going to have an assessment of whether that tech's been working or not, but you can ask other people, you know, hey, does it make sense for us to continue to pay for this? And it's one of those, if it's something that the company's not been using and that's your chance to offload it, if you will, you know, that's one of those, like, maybe you just save the company $60,000 a year just because you were paying attention when no one else was. Those are the little things, you know, that most people kind of forget and no one's paying attention to.
Yeah, that's pretty common. You know, I know you came from the marketing side of the org, and when we threw you to the wolves in the last role, you were working predominantly with the sales team out of the gate, not actually marketing, even though you reported into the marketing organization. What were some of the things that you saw inside of sales that were eye-opening to you and that you had to figure out how to solve early on?
I'd say the biggest thing was just that, you know, there was a sales organization, but ultimately as a global company with the different regions, each region had their own sales process within the greater sales process, if you will. And so it was one of those of figuring out, you know, the biggest thing was understanding how did this impact reporting? Because at the end of the day, no one was doing it the same. So that meant within reporting, these were just aggregate random numbers, to be honest. And so it was really figuring out how can we get everyone doing the same thing, so reporting actually makes sense and we can actually look at the numbers and actually figure out what's going on. And so that was something that, you know, coming from a smaller company where there's one sales team, everyone's together, just wasn't something I've ever even been on a team with before. So there were a lot of things I learned very fast, including just culturally learning a lot about other cultures, including how to talk with people, understanding based on their culture, how did they approach conflict? What does that look like? How to talk through things. And those were some big learning points, some key things to take away and big things for me that I'll always continue to carry with me forward, no matter the role or whatever I'm doing. Just working with the different regions was a big part of that.
Now, I'm guessing the listeners today have some level of a RevOps function. If they don't, you probably should get one. Or if you do, or if you think you don't, you probably do. It's just distributed across different people wearing system admin hats, and that's about the end of it, right? For those people who are listening and thinking about, okay, well, let's look at my RevOps organization. Where are the pinch points? I mean, you talked a little bit about the regions for sales having different sales motions and not being able to see in the data what's predictable. What are other pinch points that maybe today are hidden, whether it's on the marketing side or the sales side, that they should start asking critical questions about and really starting to inspect?
Yeah, I mean, so along with the sales process, I'd say the other part of it is also understanding, just, you know, diving in a little bit more to, you know, the opportunity stages and what that looks like to move through. Do the opportunity stages even make sense in terms of how do they move through them? You know, are they very straightforward, black and white? I know when to move them from stage to stage. You know, and also just kind of what does that process look like to move people through the pipeline? You know, that's been an area I'd say that tends to come up a lot. I'd say the other big one too is honestly from a marketing and sales handoff standpoint. One, does the marketing and sales team work together? What does that look like? How does a lead go from the marketing team to the sales team? You know, and how do they communicate in terms of what's working, what's not working? Those are some big pinch points I'd say that I've seen before, especially where it's like marketing team is over here on the left, sales team's over here on the right. Somehow the leads float across over to them, but that's about the end of it. You know, there's really no meetings between marketing and sales. There's none of that communication. So you really don't know, other than sales thinks marketing's not doing their job. Marketing thinks that sales is not following up. You know, the usual fights between them, but it's one of those where if you actually bring those teams together, you can actually start to accomplish a lot.
What does that bring those teams together look like?
I mean, to be honest, it's something that I'd say several of the marketers you hired were able to do that very well. And it's something that I always look for in future teams. But I mean, to me, it's going to be one, do they even have a meeting where they're together in the same call? You know, are they talking about the same things? And two, do they talk about leads and things like that, leads and opportunities, things like that? Do they talk about them the same way? Or is it marketing talks about them one way, sales talks about it another way? It's a lot of those little things where you can start to tell whether they're on the same page or not. And to be honest, when they're on the same page and they have that synergy going, you just tend to see them be more successful. And at the end of the day, who doesn't want a successful sales and marketing team?
I don't think there's a single person listening who would say, no, I don't want them to be successful. In your experience, I mean, because you've worked at smaller organizations as the, you know, head of marketing and probably everything operations in the back office, you've led RevOps, building it from the ground up. Wow, I just lost my train of thought. that question left. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. When you look at it, is there a different need for systems, people, and process based on go-to-market, whether it's product-led growth, high velocity SMB, small transaction, quickly done, or enterprise sale? Can the same skills do the same things, or do you need different people, different technology, different systems? Like, what are they, the same or are they different?
From a technology standpoint, there are going to be some systems that will be the same, but generally across the motions, there are going to be pieces of it that will be a little bit different. If you have an enterprise motion versus a PLG motion, there are going to be tools that you use in one that you may not use in the other ones, just because those sales motions are very different. When you're talking about a 3-week sales cycle versus a 2-year sales cycle, those are very different. The things you use in it is very different. And the sales teams you work with are very different. As far as the people on the RevOps team, I mean, most likely it's going to be one of those that I'm not necessarily going to go out looking for people who have specifically worked in enterprise sales or anything like that. Really, for me, it's going to be more focused on process, tech stack, things like that. That's going to be what I'm looking for. If you have that experience, great. If not, I'm sure it's something you can learn along the way. Experience across the different sales motions is good, but it's one of those that I don't think that's going to be something that's going to be as influential in terms of hiring that person, but it is going to make a big difference, I think, in the tech stack in terms of what you're going to be buying.
We call it RevOps and we talk about building it from scratch, but there's always been some sort of BizOps IT ops, right? There's always some sort of back office. And RevOps has kind of leaned into being front of house, if you will, how we go to market.
Yep.
But in today's call or today's chat, we've largely ignored finance and we've largely ignored customer success. Are they part of a good revenue operations?
Yeah. So, I mean, especially the CS team, I feel like that's still up and coming, if you will. In a good RevOps team, the CS team is a team you're going to talk to and want them to be successful, because at the end of the day, the sales and marketing team bring in new customers. But at the end of the day, the CS team is the one who is going to help continue to retain those customers. And that's where you should be also focusing, because it's obviously less expensive to retain customers versus bring in new customers. So it's one of those where the CS team is one that I feel like isn't talked about enough, but it does need to be talked about more as we continue to move forward. And I do think it will continue to come up more, especially this year. I do think you're going to see it start to get talked about a whole lot more. The finance team, it's one of those where it may not be that you're directly doing as much with them, but supporting them, getting to know them, they are going to be very influential, just because as you're trying to buy tech, renew tech, whatever it is, they're going to be your friend, because at the end of the day, they're the ones signing things, telling you yes or no. So it's one of those where getting to know the people in finance is key. It goes a long way. And two, I mean, supporting them in whatever that may be, even if they want to bring on new tech, you know, being able to help them as well. Usually they're not going to be a huge person who needs help in that aspect, like a lot of the other teams, but they're a very good group to be friends with in terms of what you're trying to get accomplished on the RevOps team.
What about product or engineering? Is there a place for RevOps and working with them as part of the go-to-market strategy?
So I say those are teams that you won't work with as much, but it's going to come up from time to time, especially as you're working with sales, marketing, CS, depending on what it is that you're doing, there are going to be times when it comes up. From the product team in particular, depending on what you're trying to do, especially if you're trying to connect or integrate a piece of tech with if you're a SaaS company, with your piece of software, they're usually going to be involved, and maybe engineering as well. So there's going to be times when they're going to come into play. They're maybe not going to be a direct group you help all the time, but they are going to come up every so often. And they're also a good group to continue to support. I'd say at the end of the day, the RevOps team really kind of sits in the middle of everyone. And at the end of the day, can support pretty much anyone and is kind of involved in just about anything that's going on.
As we navigate some economic shifts and organizations move from grow at all costs, right? Spend into the red, but capture the market, and then we'll figure out how to optimize later, to I think we're going to lean in for a period of time into a much more traditional business model where the business has to create some level of profit or EBITDA earnings ahead of time that we can reinvest back into the company. Yep. If I'm looking at that, how important is RevOps in making sure that I can grow profitably?
I mean, I think it's going to be even more important as you continue to look at ways to optimize things, find ways to just better improve things. And to be honest, finding ways to save money and really help the teams be more efficient without spending more. So I think it's going to be one of those where companies are, you know, the companies that do have revenue operations teams, being able to continue to leverage them even more to find those different insights and really having that team be a lot more proactive in providing those insights and not just being reactive to things. I think you're going to start to see those types of teams be very successful within companies.
Where do you see in your experience in looking at companies, both from a freelance standpoint and the ones that you've worked in, where are areas of common waste or areas where there's easy optimization and efficiency, you know, in that first 3 to 6 months?
So, I mean, I'd say that's a lot of where evaluating the tech stack comes into play, is figuring out what tools are there and do people actually use the tools? Because there's going to be a lot of times where maybe someone was very excited, bought this tool, and then no one uses it. And so then it's a question of, well, why are we paying for it? You know, a lot of times it's going to be, you know, maybe you can't just cancel it out of nowhere, but at the same time, it's being very intentional in terms of when is that renewal date and how can we make sure we get this canceled? So we're going to save that money moving forward. And so it's being able to then get that money back into the budget to be able to leverage it for something that actually matters and can help the team in whatever way that may be. So, I mean, to me, the being able to just audit the tech stack itself can really open up a lot of budget just by understanding what that looks like. And two, to be honest, going through the different, it's a little bit time consuming, but going through each of the tech stack pieces, understanding what users are actually using the systems. And is it either an enablement piece, whereas we need to work on improving the training for the different pieces, or is it, do we need to go through and do a cleanup of, hey, we actually don't need this many users, and can we decrease the user count? And being able to pay less for that tool because we don't actually need 40, we only need 20 licenses. So really being able to find the way to actually optimize the tech stack itself, honestly, is one of the easiest things you can do in the first 30, 60, 90 days.
When you think about, when you think about the market, you think about optimization, you think about RevOps, and you know, you're talking about areas for optimizing as it relates to eliminating costs. Are there other areas that are, where there's friction or where companies are losing efficiency that maybe can't be quantified as technology, that maybe it's inefficient process or inefficient workflows? How much of that can be impactful for organizations, looking beyond just the cost of the particular software?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, from a marketing and sales standpoint, between lead routing itself and honestly just even follow up. So making sure is there an efficient process for lead routing? So making sure between marketing and sales, leads are getting where they need to go, and then are they getting followed up with? So is it that eventually the sales team makes one phone call, but then no one ever follows up with them again? You know, so the marketing team is, you know, putting budget towards this. They paid maybe $500 for this lead and someone called them once. You know, so it's one of those of making sure that there's the process in place and the, you know, whether it's tools, process, whatever it is in place, so that the sales team has what they need to follow up efficiently and not lose track of, you know, I would not expect a sales team to have to know kind of by memory who they need to follow up with, but the right things in place to help them be able to efficiently follow up with people and honestly make sure no one falls through the cracks. So that especially for the leads you're paying for, you're making sure that everyone's getting followed up with. You're not going to miss out on any of those opportunities because someone that maybe you called them once, you got a voicemail and you never called back again. Had you called a second time, maybe they would be a quick opportunity you could close, but you'll never know. And so it's one of those, like, those could be easy friction points to get rid of, but it's one of those of being able to take the time to figure out where in the process is it broken.
All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's switch away from talking about RevOps and the process and even in building. And let's talk a little bit about you and your experience. What's the coolest thing or the coolest experience you've had in being part of a revenue ops team or building? Like, what's your favorite thing that you learned? Or done?
Ooh, favorite thing I've done. That is a good question. I mean, I'd say one of the things, I mean, proud of a lot of things I've done in the past, but probably the one of the coolest things that I started doing that I thought was impactful was probably for the last, I don't remember how long it was, maybe 9 months or so, or maybe 6 months. It was actually sending out weekly updates of all the changes we were making to the system. So all the users we were impacting, from sales to marketing to CS to finance, CEO, COO, everyone was on the list. And it was this weekly email that went out and it just went over all the changes that were being made, small and large, and just sharing with everyone what was going on. So it's not like we were making changes to the system and people would magically find out what happened by going in the next day and something changed, but it was actually giving them the heads up, hey, this is changing tomorrow, or giving them a week's notice, whatever it may be, but being able to let everyone know. And so it's one of those, like, for me, it did take a lot of extra work to be able to put that together, but being able to keep users informed in terms of what was going on was huge. And two, it gave everyone visibility into what we were doing. And so for me, that was something that it just kind of started out as a way to make sure people knew what was going on and why the systems were changing so much. But, you know, it really kind of turned into just keeping everyone informed. And it's something that I was glad I got the chance to do.
What's the worst thing you had to slog through?
Good question. I mean, I'd say like one of the challenges we had from a data standpoint had to do with the countries. So we had an open text field and a drop-down field. And honestly, it was cleaning all of that stuff up. It was the most unexciting project ever, but got it done.
I remember that project. What did you learn about working with people, specifically salespeople or marketing people in a RevOps role that's different than maybe when you're the director of marketing or somebody else in a department? What were some of the things that you learned were valuable? So if somebody comes in and they want to get into RevOps or they're building it from scratch, that they can start to look for, these might be some either personalities or styles, or, hey, these are just common problems and I need to be aware of it.
That's an interesting one. It was a little bit of a change, but for me, the one thing I learned, would probably be that, you know, where in marketing, like, yes, you're working with the other teams, but it's a little bit different when all of a sudden you're in RevOps and they are relying on you to make changes and do things for them. And you have so many different groups that you're working with. And so I think it's the biggest challenge is trying to balance. Everyone thinks their thing is the most important, but yet you need to then balance and prioritize that versus everything else. You know, it's one of those where sales always needs something done. The marketing team needs something. The CS team needs something. Finance sometimes need things changed in the system, whatever it is. But it's also, it's being able to balance all of that, because at the end of the day, there's only so many hours in a day. And it's being able to figure out what is that. And, you know, there's always going to be people that scream louder than everyone else too. And it's figuring out who are those people, how to work with them, and trying to have the best relationship possible with everyone.
You mentioned earlier that one of the critical skills for RevOps is being highly organized. Yes. What's your preference for how to manage projects and how to prioritize? What's the process look like? Do you use technology? If so, which one? And ultimately, what does that look like and how does it help?
Yeah, so I mean, I've used a lot of different project management tools over the last couple of years, but I'd say Asana has been the one for like kind of go-to tool for me that's been able to help do all the things that I wanted to do. So everything from building out projects, being able to relate them together in a portfolio, all the way to building out a ticketing system where you can essentially create a form, it goes into a queue and you can move it across a Kanban view, you know, even to being able to put goals into it and being able to use kind of that waterfall method to understand how your goals impact the company's goals. And lastly, even having reporting within there to understand, you know, just the different, you know, who's being assigned what, who's completing what, things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, too, even communicating with each other on those projects and being able to have everything in one place, I'd say Asana for me has been the one tool that kind of solves everything, keeps the projects flowing, and allows me to be the most organized.
You mean you didn't just use your email inbox?
Definitely not.
Email inbox to-dos and follow-up tasks aren't going to cut it?
No, definitely not. Especially from a visibility standpoint too. If you're working with someone else on a team, you have your own to-do list and that's great. But if you're working with someone else on a team and for some reason you're out that day, they have no idea what you're doing. And it's, you know, especially too, if someone else comes to you and says, hey, I need this done. I've been waiting on Heather. There's no way for them to know what's going on. Whereas they could at least jump into Asana, figure out, you know, go into that task, figure out what it is. Oh, here's what I need to do. And then get it knocked out. And so that's one of those things where just that visibility in terms of what's going on is huge. It's one of my favorite parts about it.
Why did you personally decide to move from being in marketing and running a marketing department as a director and switch over into RevOps? What was the motivation for you from migrating from one role to the next?
Yeah, so for me, it was interesting just because the startup I was at previously, it was a very small startup, and not only was I doing marketing, but was also helping out with sales, was also helping out with CS, kind of doing all of the things. One of those including the operations side of things. And so that was really kind of where I was starting to do a lot of those different things. I just didn't realize it had a name, to be honest. And it was one of those where after that, figuring out that's what I enjoyed the most during my time there was that versus all of the other things I was doing. And so it was just figuring out, is that what I want to do, or do I want to continue doing marketing? And so it's just taking that opportunity to, you know, figure out, do I want to change my path in my career or continue forward? The nice thing is everyone has that chance to kind of switch. You know, one of my friends has completely switched her career 3 times in the last 10 years. And so it's just one of those, it's figuring out what do you enjoy doing the most and go for it. There's no reason to stay in a career. It's not that I don't enjoy marketing. It's just, I just found I have a stronger passion for operations.
Awesome. All right, some quick fire questions, one word answers.
Let's do it.
Favorite CRM?
HubSpot.
Favorite lead automation tool?
I'd say it depends. It depends. Because with HubSpot, you can definitely do that. I'd go with Lean Data or HubSpot, depending on what you're trying to set up.
All right. Favorite ABM tool?
Sixth Sense.
Well, make you rehash it again. Favorite project management tool?
Asana.
Content delivery?
I don't know if I have a strong favorite in content delivery. I'll say that.
Okay. CMS.
I'd probably have to say HubSpot.
Phone system.
Aircall.
Any other text that you feel like you absolutely have to have?
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't know if there's any like critical ones. There's nice to haves, but I feel like the only other one would be like a Zoom Info or Cognizant, like a data tool. You gotta have something.
How often should you clean your database?
This should be an ongoing thing.
How often should you revisit definitions in your glossary inside of your handbook?
At least quarterly.
Who do you like better, sales or marketing?
Depends on the team.
That was a weak answer.
It was.
Weak sauce. Final thoughts. You know, just kind of leave us with maybe what you see happening in the market and where RevOps is headed, and a bold prediction for the next 5 years.
Ooh, yeah. I'd say some of the big things you're going to see, obviously more teams or more companies are starting to look to finding at least a RevOps person, if not continuing to expand to a RevOps team. I do think we'll continue to see that in some form, some type of operations. They may call it different things, but at the end of the day, it will be some type of RevOps. And especially as, this year continues on, I do think, companies will continue to lean on a RevOps team a lot more to find ways to become more efficient. And especially the ones who have a good RevOps person will be able to find those different ways to actually become more efficient. In the next 5 years, I think the RevOps role is going to continue to grow. I do think you're going to start to see, RevOps people move more into the C-suite. I'd say it's a little bit up for grabs. It's hard to say. There's, the COO role, the CRO role, and there's probably even going to be a new C-level role that could even come up in the future. But I do think we'll continue to see RevOps leaders move into those roles, and they're going to become really key people within the leadership teams to be able to help drive companies forward because of their experience across all the teams and really being able to understand what does it take to help us drive forward. So I do think it's, to be honest, there's going to be probably a new title at the leadership level. And that's going to probably be where RevOps leaders end up.
Awesome. Well, Heather, thanks so much for sharing your insights, a little bit of your experience. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they? Where can they find you?
Of course, LinkedIn, always a great place. Feel free to reach out, connect. Always happy to schedule a call. Or, you know, in the marketing ops community, there's a lot of marketing ops, RevOps people within there. Feel free to join the free Slack community. I'm always in there. Mike Rizzo has built a very great community. Would love to see more operations people in there.
Yeah, go to Mopsapalooza this year, right?
Yes, I will be there.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for your time. We're glad to have you here today, and I'm excited to see what you do in your next roles and continue watching how RevOps evolves over the coming weeks, months, and definitely years. For those of you who are listening, this has been another Summit podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hamer, and until next week, clean your data, clean your britches. Oh, wait, no, just don't clean your clock. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.